up. This is Movies On Up discussion episode, specifically our summer preview. We'll be discussing the movies that come out this summer. We're doing May through August. So in case you're wondering, well, what exactly do these fellas consider summer? That, my friends, is what we consider summer. We're going to start off May the 3rd with that weekend and take you through what will be the end of the summer, as we put it, the end of August, alongside my regular co-host, Dave. By the way, Dave, you come from Good Peoples. In addition to being my introduction for Dave, that's also our tagline for this episode. How about that? Double duty.
I don't know what that's from.
You wouldn't, because the movie's not out yet. We're about to talk about it, but it's really not a stretch. It's on the first page of the outline. It just so happens the title of the film is in the tagline. There were two taglines. The title was in both of them.
Gotcha,
so
yeah.
What are you going to do? If you think you can figure out what it is, or if you can just manage to listen to this podcast for about another 7 minutes, we'll tell you what it is. Send that guess to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com, or of course you could tweet it directly at Dave at moviesonup on the Twitter, or leave it on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct, if we pick you, and if Dave gives me your information, I will send you out a prize pack, which will have some stuff in it. I'm going to be very vague as to what that stuff might be, but it'll be fun stuff from Dave and I, from our hearts.
From Movies On Up.
From the heart of Movies On Up. We also may be giving away some prizes for someone that may win our, what are we calling it?
Box Office Bash.
Yeah, Box Office Bash contest, which we're going to lay, well, Dave, by we, I mean Dave, is going to lay out the rules for a little bit later. Essentially, listen to all of our movies that are being coming out this summer. Think in your brains which might make the most money. File those in the back, and essentially that's what we're going to do. The top performing films at the box office, you get some points. Those points can be redeemed for tickets. Not unlike Chuck E. Cheese, right?
Yeah. And sure. That reminds me of a bonus list. If we were playing this last year, these are the top five biggest moneymakers from last summer. Number five, this is worldwide, so this wasn't domestic. Number five, Madagascar 3. Number four, The Amazing Spider-Man. Number three, Ice Age, Continental Drift. Number two, The Dark Knight Rises. And number one, it kind of kicked off the summer season, The Avengers.
For the most part, I think those were all pretty obvious at the time. Maybe there's a couple obvious ones that stick out for you. Maybe one of them, another Marvel flick featuring Robert Downey Jr. starting off the summer box office this year. Maybe that's going to be one you pick. May 3rd, of course, I am talking about Iron Man 3, directed by Shane Black, starring the aforementioned Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, and Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin.
I'm very excited for this one. I don't think it's any secret. I think it's going to be The Avengers opened to $200 million. It's the first one ever. I think this one could open to $150, riding off of that, because Robert Downey carried that. So yeah, it's not necessarily an Avengers sequel. I think this is more of a sequel to The Avengers than it is a sequel to Iron Man 2.
Let's hope so.
Because if this were just Iron Man 3 coming out after Iron Man 2, I think there's that bad taste in people's mouths. But because The Avengers was there, I think people want more Iron Man, especially with Downey Jr. coming out in the news this week saying he might be ready to retire as Tony Stark. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement about this movie. I think it opens huge.
I think there is. I mean, every time, you know, we see another trailer, it looks, they seem to get better and better. You know, that is kind of the key, is building the excitement. I think they're doing a good job of the trailers. They had a better jumping off point with Avengers than Iron Man 2, most definitely.
I think this blows Shane Black up also. He's been, for the last 20 years, one of the best action writers. And then the film he directed previously was really good. I think this is going to put him in a position to where he's going to be able to make anything he wants. And that's good for everybody, because Shane Black is awesome.
Iron Man might have a bit of a struggle on his hands with the Mandarin, but nothing else in the box office. It's pretty much wide open. A couple limited releases that week. The first one is directed by Ariel Vorman. It's called The Iceman, starring Michael Shannon, Chris Evans, Winona Ryder, James Franco. We talked about the trailer for this one a while ago. It's where Shannon plays real-life hitman Richard Kuklinski, The Iceman, also known as, in what I guess is kind of a biopic.
It looks amazing. The story is, the Iceman is such an interesting character, because not only did he kill a bunch of people, he went rat on a lot of people, and he's been open to talking about it. So he's done a lot. Interview with, I believe it was called Interview with the Killer, was a documentary that's just like an hour and a 2-hour conversation with him. So he's an interesting character. Shannon
is an interesting dude.
Is really, really good. Chris Evans is unrecognizable in this movie. I think this is going to be good. The only thing I don't like about it coming out May 3rd is that I think if it were more poised for an Oscar run, I think Shannon is going to be good enough to get that kind of love.
Yeah, perhaps. The guy can act. There's no question about that. Not a whole lot of acting going on in our next film. Kiss of the Damned, directed by John Cassavetes, starring Josephine de la Broome, Roxanne Mesquidita, and Peter Petrelli, Milo Ventimiglia. It's essentially a sexy time vampire love triangle, or Twilight for adults, and these very sad, lonely adults. This one has been out on VOD and available on the internet for a while. So, of course, I thought, boy, I've never heard of this. Let me watch it. And I am sorry that I did.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I'm shaking my head. No, that's all I got on this movie.
That's fair enough. That is all you need. Love is all you need. Also in limited release that week, directed by Susan Beer, starring Pierce Brosnan and Trine Dearholm. Beer won an Oscar in 2010 for Better World. This, more of a romantic comedy. Dearholm and Brosnan fall in love while attending the wedding of their children. They're not children, really, at that point. They're grown adults. But
it's not like two beautiful. Eight-year-olds
right.
getting married.
That'd be gross. But this is just awkward and weird instead. What Maisie Knew rounds out the week of May 3rd, directed by Scott McGehee, who knew, and David Siegel, starring Alexander Skarsgård and Julianne Moore, based on the Henry James novel about a girl dealing with her parents' divorce.
There's a trailer for this, and I think it looks pretty good. I like Skarsgård. His foray into films has been spotty, but I think this summer is going to be big for him because he's got a few limited releases that I think are going to be good.
Yeah, there's a couple Skarsgårds popping around. There's a couple Julianne Moores that are popping.
There's no Battleship.
No.
For him.
That, and I think that's okay. May 10th in wide release, Baz Luhrmann's The Great Gatsby. That was backed way the hell up. That was supposed to be out last year, December.
It was supposed to be in Christmas Day.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a Christmas Day release.
So it gets backed up a big fat 5 months, starring Leo DiCaprio, Carey Mulligan, Tobey Maguire, and Joel Edgerton. He shows up a lot in the most recent trailer.
Yeah, that's not a bad...
not a bad lineup.
No, it's not a bad lineup. I hate the book. The movie's going to be terrible because it looks very faithful and it looks stupid just color-wise. It looks too visual when it shouldn't be.
It's Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, it looks too Baz Luhrmann-y, I guess. But it's not a bad bump. It went from Christmas Day to prime in the summer to kicking off summer. It's interesting strategy because this isn't the kind of movie that usually is it's not the kind of movie that's usually put out in the summer. So I'm interested to see what it does, and will it be able to hold off Iron Man 3? I don't think so.
I don't know that's necessarily like the same audience that are looking at both of those. And
but this audience doesn't really get anything for them in the summer.
Yeah.
So that's why it's weird.
It's weird all the way around. It will be interesting to see how it does. Also in wide release that week, Peoples, directed by Tina Gordon Chisholm, produced by Tyler Perry, starring Kerry Washington, Craig Robinson, and David Alan Grier. Robinson plays what appears to be a Seth Rogen kind of loser who crashes Washington's family reunion to ask her dad for permission to marry him. You get it. They're rich and smart. He's dumb and not. Opposites attract.
This one, I like Craig Robinson. I want him to make that transition into films, and he has a few opportunities this summer.
This is his best shot.
Well, this and this is
in the end.
The third one, no.
We'll mention it because we're contractually
we'll get to
obligated.
It later,
but, yeah.
But I like him getting this transition into. I mean, this movie will do okay. It's going to bring in that Tyler Perry audience.
I would say this. This is the most likely I've ever been to see a Tyler Perry movie because I like Craig Robinson. I like David Alan Grier,
like
and
Kerry
Washington,
Washington's yeah.
very good too. I mean, I kind of poke fun at the story because it is, you know, something that I feel like we've seen before.
Yeah, they're not reinventing the wheel, but
sure.
If you have a good cast that pull it off well, you can tell me a great story that I've heard before.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to let a tagline that I've heard before turn me off, because if I like the people and I like the approach to it, I'm still into it.
Who hasn't heard this story before? An American and a Muslim cop team up to track down a terrorist in Indonesia. It is Java Heat, directed by Connor Allen, starring Kellan Lutz and Mickey Rourke. Kellan Lutz is the American, And Mickey Rourke is the terrorist. Never so much did I wish that while I was watching the trailer for this, that I was watching the trailer for a Brett Ratner movie.
Yeah, it looks...
It looks like a bad Rush Hour.
It looks like a direct-to-DVD Rush Hour. It looks like one of those movies that when Rush Hour is released, it's put out to DVD at the same time under the name, like, Traffic Hour.
Like...
Or Rush Time.
Hurry Minute.
Yeah, like, it's put out under a similar name trying to catch... But that's what it looks like.
If you liked Rush Hour, you'll hate Java Heat. We didn't have to wait very long. Craig Robinson is going to be all over the weekend of May 10th. Wide release in People's, limited release in Paul Middleditch's Rapture Palooza, starring Anna Kendrick, John Francis Daley, Ken Jeong, Rob Corddry, Anna Gasteyer, Thomas Lennon, Rob Hubel, Paul Scheer, the aforementioned Craig Robinson. The trailer looks awful, but with this cast...
I love this cast.
Exactly. How bad can this be?
I love this cast. The trailer looks really bad.
For this many people to sign on to this, it makes you think there has to be something that's funny.
Yeah.
For every... I could see one person doing it.
Like I said, when you go to the trailer, it feels like you have to be in the mindset of that world because it is a different... You have to suspend a lot of disbelief. If it takes the first 10 minutes to immerse us in that world, I think everything after will be okay.
I'm just going to keep repeating to myself that it's all going to be okay as I'm watching that. It'll all turn out well in the end. I'm sure it'll be fine. In the Rapture, I guess, for the most part, No One Lives. That's also the title of our next movie. It is the WWE picture, No One Lives, directed by Ryuhei Kitamura, starring Luke Evans, Adelaide Clemens, and the Funkasaurus. I'm not even going to really try and tell you what the plot is about, because after watching the trailer, I'm not really sure. A girl gets kidnapped by some dudes in some masks, and some people die.
Are down, and a lot of people die.
And No One Lives.
It looks terrible, but I love Adelaide Clemens. I honestly think she's just in the bad movie phase of her career before she turns and really makes some good stuff.
Well, and a lot of people, the bad phase in their career, it takes into account a horror movie, and maybe this is hers. And
well, this and Silent Hill from earlier this year, which she was good in, though. So
you sat through that?
I liked the first one a lot.
I hated the first one. Our next movie is going to maybe kick off what is might be a theme running through this summer. It is Sightseers, directed by Ben Wheatley, starring Alice Lowe and Steve Oram. Bad vacation movies. I don't necessarily mean movies that will be bad. They're bad vacation. It's just that vacations the characters go on seem awful. Somebody always ends up dead. And you can watch for that later in a couple minutes. You see the trailer for this movie, and you know that people end up dead.
I love Ben Wheatley. Ben Wheatley did the Kill List and Downtown Terrace or Downward Terrace. I forget the name of his first movie.
Downtown Abbey.
He's got a weird sensibility to him. So him doing a black comedy off of the intensity that was the Kill List... It'll be interesting. It's written by the two stars, so their chemistry, I think, will be pretty strong. I'm sure the deaths will be fun. It looks like it'll be one of those movies that you enjoy, but the whole time you're thinking, like, I shouldn't be enjoying this. That's the feeling I get for what kind of movie this is going
to be. That's some pretty in-depth analysis, Dave. That's next-level stuff. Thank you, sir. Going to the next level, going to the next week, May 17th. Going into Darkness, Star Trek Into Darkness, J.J. Abrams, better known as the director of the upcoming Star Wars film. He's still messing around on the Enterprise with Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana, and Dave's new man crush, Benedict Cumberbatch.
And Simon Pegg and John Cho and sure. Anton Yelchin. Like this, I can't wait for this movie.
Looks good. Every time there's a new trailer, which Dave won't allow himself to watch. Because
Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be one of the best screen villains in history.
You've said that. That's a hell of a statement.
I mean it. I stand by it, and I have about a month until he proves me right.
You've never been proved wrong before. That is just a fact. A fact in limited release, Black Rock, directed by Kate Asselton. This is another one that I kind of feel like bad vacation movie. Katie Asselton, Lake Bell, and Kate Bosworth all go on vacation, and it is full of attempted rape and island survival. Kind of like Donkey Punch on an island, but without the fun.
Donkey
Sounds
Punch
like an awesome
wasn't
vacation.
A lot of fun, though.
Some of the deaths were kind of cool. It seemed a little... this movie was called Donkey Punch, so at least at that point, I felt like I was having a little bit more fun.
Yeah, no.
And that was consensual sex, or at least it started out. I mean, this is just rape. That's not fun. Come on.
What's interesting, though, is Katie Asselton, Mark Duplass's wife, really good at comedy. Lake Bell, one of the best comedic actresses right now. They're doing this.
Nothing
really
funny about this.
No. So I know you didn't like the trailer.
Nope.
I'm interested enough in Asselton and what she does. I liked her first directorial movie, The Freebie. Or not her first. I like her last one, The Freebie. I'm interested in it.
Fair enough. Another movie that might be right up your alley by kind of an indie darling. It's called Frances Ha, directed by Noah Baumbach, starring Greta Gerwig, Mickey Summer, Adam Driver. It's Baumbach's follow-up to Greenberg. Shot in black and white, Gerwig plays she's a dancer, lacking direction. If you can believe that, a grown-up who their profession is dancer lacks life direction. It also sounds like it lacks anything interesting for me. There's no robots. There's no explosions.
You know what? Go watch anything Greta Gerwig's done in the past year or so, 2 years, 3 years. She's really charming, and she's so good. I'm not the biggest Baumbach fan, but he does good with a good lead, and I think she's one of the best female leads out there right now just because everything she does is so compelling, and she's got this charm about her. The trailer looks okay. Again, I'm not the biggest Baumbach fan, but I really like what she's been doing lately, and I'll see it eventually. I don't understand it black and white, but I'll see it.
One of us will see it. Neither of us will see the wide release on May 24th. Epic, directed by Chris Wedge. It's the animated flick starring the voices of Colin Farrell, Amanda Seyfried, Josh Hutcherson, Christoph Waltz.
It just looks terrible.
Yeah, it looks like Ferngully, Lord of the Rings kind of mixed between the two. I don't know, maybe.
It just doesn't. The animation doesn't even look inviting. It just, I don't know
what are you, Christoph Waltz all of a sudden?
I don't know what I did with the T there, but the animation doesn't look inviting. It doesn't look like, it looks like it lacks everything that a summer animated release should have. Like, it just looks like it doesn't have that charm and that warm feel and that excitement. It just looks
like, hey, if you liked A Bug's Life, you'll hate this. You know what I mean? Like, and this is like a direct-to-DVD, a Kmart version of...
It looks... something it reminds me of is Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahoo! Because that was... There was nothing charming or lighthearted about that movie. It was an okay... It was terrible. But it wasn't really like a kid's movie. It had an identity crisis. Parts of it were for adults, parts of it were kids. It just didn't find a middle ground. This just doesn't look like it. It just looks bad.
Our next movie is all for adults. It's Todd Phillips. It's the finale in his Hangover trilogy that, of course, would make it Hangover 3, starring Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, Zach Galifianakis, Ken Jeong.
I skipped part 2 in the theaters because it didn't look good. This one actually has a plot. This one's not just find and replace of the first script. I think it'll be good. I love everybody in this movie.
I do too, but I don't love the Hangover movies. It is the swan song for the Hangover series, also the swan song for Justin Lin in his Fast and Furious career as he wraps up his last spin at the helm with Fast and Furious 6, starring Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Michelle Rodriguez, Dwayne Johnson, Cars Drive, Fast and Furious.
I don't even know what these movies are about.
I don't either.
I thought they were about car racing, and then now they're doing international heists. I thought Dwayne Johnson was hunting them down because they're now elite-level terrorist thieves. I don't know what these movies are. I haven't seen any of them.
No, if you have seen any of them and you want to educate Dave and I on what they are in 140 characters or less, feel free to tweet at us at @moviesonup. Let us know the entire plot of the first 5 Fast films. We'd love to hear about it. Wrapping up, limited release, the one and only limited release that week is Richard Linklater's Before Midnight, starring Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy. Watch the trailer, and you won't need to see any of the ones in the series before that, or this one. May 31st, Now You See Me, directed by Lois Lederer, starring Jesse Eisenberg, Ilsa Fisher, Woody Harrelson, Mark Ruffalo. It's a heist movie. It kind of, to me, it looks like Ocean's 11, but instead of con men, it's magicians.
This doesn't look like a real movie to me. Like, I look at this and I think, who wants to see this? And you have real actors in it. Like, you have Morgan Freeman and Woody Harrelson and Mark Ruffalo. And it doesn't look like a real movie to me. Like, everything about it just looks absolutely terrible.
It's just an illusion.
I feel like it's the kind of movie that if you buy a ticket to opening day, the lights will go off, and then the screen will open up, and somebody will come out, and it's just an intervention because you will go see anything.
Strong words for Now You See Me. We'll see what strong words you may or may not have for James Z. Monaco's The Purge, starring Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey. Kind of a Strangers-esque flick where laws go out the window for a couple hours and some crazy folk show up and they really want to kill someone that is in Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey's house.
The setup for this movie is stupid. The plot's stupid. It looks stupid. It's going to be stupid.
Strong words from a strong man. Limited release that week, The East, directed by, Zal, starring Britt Marling, Alexander Skarsgård, Ellen Page. Britt Marling and Zal spent some time with some hippie anarchists a while back and decided to make what looks kind of like a Sound of My Voice type movie, centered around these types, as opposed to a cult.
I love Britt Marling. She wrote and starred in Another Earth, wrote and starred in Sound of My Voice, which Zal directed, where she was a cult leader and James Denham and the other girl infiltrated. This is just her infiltrating an anarchist group. I think it looks awesome. I think Ellen Page in this kind of role is going to be cool. I think Alexander Skarsgård in this kind of role is going to be cool. I have very, 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 very high hopes for this movie.
I just hope that at some point during this movie, I feel intimidated by Ellen Page.
Plus, in the summer, Britt Marling has such beautiful blonde hair that in the sunlight, it would just look almost angelic.
In the summer, you might say Britt Marling's maybe the queen of summer. Our next movie is The Kings of Summer, directed by Jordan Vaught Roberts, starring Alison Brie, Nick Offerman, and Tyler Moliterno. Listener Tyler plays, quote, a big Italian kid. That's what IMDb said. Look for him with the other kids banging around on a pipe. A bunch of funny, funny people in this movie.
Nick Offerman looks Nick Offerman-y. Megan Mullally, Alison Brie, Kumail Nanjiani shows up. A bunch of people that I love show up in probably smaller parts, but just three teenagers, sick of their parents, go build a house in the woods and decide to live there for the summer. It looks really good. It's getting super bad comparisons with Super Bad Meets Stand By Me is what the trailer feels like.
You could do worse.
Yeah, I think it looks good.
That will wrap it up for May. We'll go into June 7th. Another month, another Earth, another M. Night Shyamalan movie, this time starring the Smith boys, Will and Jaden.
It just looks bad.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a bit about at least one of the trailers. Neither of us. I was done with it before I found out that it was directed by M. Night Shyamalan, and I feel like they've already given the Shyamalan twist away.
Well, and his name doesn't even appear on the latest trailer.
Which is probably good, because it doesn't really mean a whole lot this time. So yeah, that
because his last two outings have been summer. Happening and Airbender were both summer releases that both didn't do well.
I mean, this one, I think it's got maybe more of a chance than the other ones did with Will Smith. He's a bankable in the summer.
It's got a good chance to make some money because of Will Smith.
Sure.
But again, I've said it a million times, M. Night Shyamalan has this insane ability to get the absolute worst from his actors. And in the trailer, it looks like a bad performance from Will Smith. I don't know what he's doing with his voice.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I don't think Jaden Smith has the ability to overcome Shyamalan's direction. I just think this
or his dad's voice.
I just think this movie's gonna be a disaster.
It probably will be. The next one looks, I guess, funny. It's The Internship. It's Sean Levy, the Ninth Museum fella, directing Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, and Rose Byrne in a movie where Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson get an internship at Google.
Try it. It's just looks stupid. It looks really dumb. I like Google. I like the inside Google stuff, but it's not enough for me to sit through this crap.
And you like the inside Google stuff, so none of us will know anything about it, so I guess take that out of the column of just normal on-the-street person. I mean, I think people like Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson together. It's another buddy movie with
those
guys.
I like Rose Byrne.
Yeah, she's all right. Wish she was here. Wish You Were Here in limited release this week, directed by Kieran Darcy Smith, starring Felicity Price, Joel Edgerton, Teresa Palmer, another bad vacation flick. Edgerton goes on holiday in Cambodia with three friends, only two come back.
And Edgerton appears to be up to some stuff.
They all appear to be up to some stuff.
I like Edgerton, but this doesn't... I think it might just be a bad trailer. The trailer for this is really bad. The cast is good. It's got some good people in it. The concept's okay, but it just the trailer looks really, really bad. Whether it's just a bad trailer or it's a trailer to a bad movie, I don't know. I won't find out right away.
No, but you could watch it, and you could end up liking it, and you'll think to yourself, man, all the bad feelings I had from the trailer were really much ado about nothing. Interestingly enough, that's also in limited release that week, directed by Joss Whedon. His break from the Avengers, he decided, I'm going to direct a Shakespeare adaptation, starring Amy Acker, Alex Dezenoff, Clark Gregg, and Nathan Fillion.
And anybody else who's been in.
If you've been, yeah.
Joss Whedon. I want to see
except
it.
The Hulk and yeah. Thor.
Yeah, I think it'll be awesome.
It looks good. It's
modern setting with the Shakespearean language, which is a cool... contrast.
Right, we've seen, well, I mean, I guess we've seen that before. I mean, Lerman kind of did that with
in
with
a stylized way.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
isn't, this just looks like Friends of the Beach House.
The style doesn't get in the way.
Yeah, so.
Also, in limited release that week, Violet and Daisy, directed by Jeffrey Fletcher, Saoirse Ronan, Alexis Biddle, Danny Trejo, and James Gandolfini. Ronan and Biddle play teenaged assassins. I didn't want to read too much because it sounded like there might be some plot details that somebody really wanted to give away badly. I'm kind of interested in this.
I could buy Saoirse Ronan as a teenaged assassin. Alexis sure. Bledel, not so much. But I'm into it. I don't know anything about this movie. Like this is most of these I know without your little sentence here. But this
thanks,
one, Dan. This one I don't know anything about. But
well, it's a good thing I put my little sentence here.
I'll watch her do anything but The Host. Like, she's really good. And I'm a sucker for teenage assassins.
Yeah. And I like Danny Trejo. Anytime he can show up in a movie.
And Gandolfini.
Yeah. I'll give you a thumbs up on that. June 14th, that is when we will see the debut of Zack Snyder's Man of Steel, starring Henry Cavill, Russell Crowe, Amy Adams, and Michael Shannon. Starting to see more and more pictures of Shannon from that. They still won't say, or at least I haven't seen anything that has said.
I think
said,
they've announced that he's...
Oh, have they? I knew they were trying to keep that a secret for a long time, and it's like, okay, I'm seeing pictures of him from the set. You'd want to hate this movie. This
I
is
do.
Your Spider-Man for this, this
it
year.
It is. I didn't like a lot about Spider-Man going into Spider-Man last year, and I ended up not liking Spider-Man. I have such disdain for Zack Snyder that I don't think... there is any way I can enjoy this movie. I'll try eventually, but I just, nothing about it is screaming to me that I need to see it. I like Amy Adams. I think she's going to be an okay Lois Lane. I love Michael Shannon, but just, I can't get over Zack Snyder. I can't move past that.
The man has a style that he chooses to employ.
All he chooses to employ.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does seem a bit toned down. I'm not a big Superman guy. I didn't really care for Superman Returns. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not really beholden to the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. I don't care. I do not care about the
character.
He's
a very boring character.
I just don't like that he can really do anything.
And his origin is pretty boring. So to try to do a Batman Begins type approach to that origin... it's not as compelling. Like, Bruce Wayne's transition from young Bruce Wayne to Batman is an awesome story. Superman's transition from Superman to Superman is kind of boring.
It's maybe boring. It's probably the same. We've already seen it. I don't fault Zack Snyder for that. I mean, it is what it is. I'll probably end up seeing the movie. Just, I don't hate Zack Snyder as much as you do. I liked 300. I loved, I didn't love Watchmen. I liked it, but I wasn't beholden to the book as much as you were. So, yeah, it could go either way. I think with Nolan's involvement, whatever it ends up, being, at least there's somebody there to kind of keep him on a leash. It doesn't seem like there's anybody on a leash in This Is the End. Everybody's just going absolutely nuts. Directed by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, starring essentially all of their friends, the aforementioned Seth Rogen, James Franco, Jonah Hill, Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, Jay Baruchel, and Emma Watson.
Michael Cera, Mindy Kaling, Rihanna. Like, it's... I'm very excited for this. I love what Rogen and Goldberg write. I'm excited to see them as directors. I love the balls this movie takes, where it's just like, we're just going to get all our friends together, we're going to play ourselves, and we're going to put us in this crazy scenario. I think it'll be awesome.
It looks funny. I think the movie will do well. There's this, you know, we talk a lot about star power. I mean, I think there are people in this from everything that you like, whether it's movies, you know, whether it's TV. There's literally somebody that really, I think, everybody really, really digs, and they all seem like they're going to be really funny together in however long they spend on the screen. Emma Watson, pretty busy that week when she's not, I guess, stealing booze from Danny McBride. She is stealing jewelry from Hollywood in The Bling Ring. That's directed by Sofia Coppola, starring Emma Watson and Leslie Mann. That's the one where the kids think it's funny to go break into, I think it was like Paris Hilton and
Lindsay Lohan.
I want to say probably Lindsay Lohan.
Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan got hit.
They steal their jewelry, and why not, I guess. It's probably all covered by insurance anyway. It's really a victimless crime.
I want to see it.
It's just for Emma Watson, I see.
Yeah, you put a teaser where Emma Watson's dancing, looking all hot. All right.
Try and keep Dave 20 feet from that movie.
It's weird. You're seeing a lot of this, though. You're seeing a lot of... This summer, it seems like there's a lot of wide releases, and then somebody from
also
that wide release
movie, yeah,
in a limited release, which is just weird.
Weird, but maybe there's some kind of strategy behind it. Try and keep Dave 20 feet from the theater with Emma Watson dancing around, looking pretty as she does. Next flick, 20 Feet from Stardom, directed by Morgan Neville. It is a documentary following the lives of some of the backup singers to kind of the biggest bands in music. I'm not huge into documentaries, and there's not a bunch that are coming out in the summer, but I think this one's interesting. You know, there are, from looking at the IMDb page, there's a lot of, you know, big acts that everyone knows. And I think it's kind of interesting to see the people that have, you know, made music with them, harmonized with them. They're, you know, maybe not as much of a part of the songs that we love as the, you know, the main acts, but still a big part. Dave concurs. He's stuck in thought over there. Our next movie, Stuck in Love, directed by Josh Boone, starring one of Dave's favorites, Logan Lerman, Lily Collins, Jennifer Connelly, another one of Dave's favorites, Kristen Bell, Greg Kinnear, and Patrick Schwarzenegger. Greg Kinnear putting the moves to Kristen Bell, and he wants to kind of have a better relationship with his kids that he had with Jennifer Connelly. I wouldn't really care about my kids or Jennifer Connelly.
I would if one of them looked like Lily Collins.
Well, you're not going to really...
I love, like, Logan Lerman, Lily Collins, Jennifer Connelly, Kristen Bell. Greg Kinnear in the right role is awesome, and this looks like a Greg Kinnear, like, tailor-made role. It looks good. It looks intriguing enough, but I think it's been on the shelf for so long. It's went through a couple title changes. The behind the scenes stuff worries me about this, but on the surface, I kind of want to see it. It's a very writer-y movie. Like, he's a writer. Logan Lerman's trying to become a writer. Lily Collins is out slutting it up. Slutty Kristen Bell. I'll see it.
Is she slutty? I didn't get that impression from
Kristen
the,
Bell?
Yeah. Oh, and from the trailer, is she?
I think so.
All right. Fair enough. Then
I hope so.
I guess I'm more excited to see it then. Not sure how slutty Billy Crystal, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, and Helen Mirren are going to be in Monsters University. That comes out June 21st, directed by Dan Scanlon.
Hopefully it's more... I don't know.
I didn't see the first one, so I have really very little to say about
it. Well, their last sequel, Cars 2, was just... I mean, granted, Cars 2... I didn't like Cars. Cars 2 took everything I didn't like about Cars and just did that. I'm hoping that Monsters, Inc. takes the opposite approach and takes everything that I loved about the Monsters, Inc. and does that. It's set up to be funny. I think it can be. It's them in a college setting, which I think is a unique idea. Like, it's a unique take on a sequel or a prequel, but I think it'll be good.
Lots of monsters in that movie. I don't know. Were there any zombies in Monsters, Inc.? No? Lots of zombies, it looks like, in World War Z. Directed by Mark Foster, starring Brad Pitt, Mariel Enos, and a bunch of CGI zombies.
This is one that got rewritten so many times. It was supposed to be originally last summer and then Christmas time.
Because the ending wasn't good.
Now we're finally seeing it.
I haven't seen the ending yet, but what I have seen doesn't look good. I've been progressively less and less excited about this.
The zombie stuff looks terrible. Yeah. The zombies look bad. Brad Pitt looks good. Like, I think Brad Pitt will give it his all. I don't think it'll be a good movie, but I don't think he'll have much to do with that.
No, it won't be his
fault. I think
he's
going to do the absolute best he can with what he's given. I mean, that's kind of what Brad Pitt does now. But I don't know. I love the book. This doesn't look like the book.
No.
I think it'll still make money because it's Brad Pitt and it's zombies.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's enough people that'll probably see it just based on that solely. I don't think Dave and I will be in that number. Limited release that week. Unfinished Song, directed by Paul Andrew Williams, starring Gemma Arterton, Christopher Eccleston, Vanessa Redgrave, Terrence Stamp. Stamp joins the community singing group that his recently deceased wife belonged to, makes new friends in the group, including his estranged son.
The plot doesn't do anything for me, but I really like Gemma Arterton and Christopher Eccleston. It just seems like an old person movie.
An old English person movie, Specifically, I feel like. An old movie that is now new again is Frank Calhoun's Maniac, starring Elijah Wood, America Olivio, and Nora Hansen, whatever. Exactly, whatever. A remake of a 1980 slasher flick. Maybe this might interest you. Co-written by your boy Alexander Aja.
I like Elijah Wood in this kind of role. I think it'll be fun to see.
Like Kevin?
Yeah, similar to that, which he was awesome as.
Yeah, he was. Really creepy.
This is that as the focal point.
Sure. I can't say I'm excited about it. I will give it, if I was at a 3 before, maybe Aja's involvement bumps it up to a 4. Because I kind of like his work, but I'd rather just watch the original Maniac, which you can do. It's on DVD. Check it out. June 28th is The Heat, directed by Paul Feig, starring Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy. It's their buddy cop flick.
I think I'm on board with Melissa McCarthy. It's good to see Sandra Bullock back in comedy. I think it'll be good.
There's no reason to think that it won't be. I mean, they're both funny. They can both. Interesting that you're seeing kind of a female spin on what is a predominantly
buddy cop.
It's a male.
I feel
thing.
Like if I had to guess what the Ted would be, which is what comedy just makes a ton of money. I'm thinking this one.
I think it could be. I mean, she's somebody that's again
both of them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think she's really, really hot right now. I mean, Sandy Bullock's, you know. Gosh, probably even longer than 10 years ago at this point, maybe like 15 years ago, she was probably, you know, maybe as hot as Melissa McCarthy, but whatever. I mean, they'll both draw, and I think together it'll end up being a good movie. And I like Paul Feig's stuff. You know, if you're not so much into the estrogen that they're going to bring, check out the testosterone that Channing Tatum will bring to Roland Emmerich's White House Down.
That's perfect counter-programming.
Exactly.
But, I'll see White House Down just because of C-Tates. If I had to pick between the two, I'm seeing The Heat, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I know that White House Down is really trying to kind of distance itself from Olympus Has Fallen, but I feel like, I mean, I haven't seen Olympus Has Fallen, but if I have before June 28th, I'll feel like I've already seen White House Down. At least The Heat does seem like it's something different. Sure, it's a buddy cop, but it's a different spin on the buddy cop genre. A different spin on vampire movies, perhaps, will be out in limited release that week. It's Byzantium, directed by Neil Jordan, starring Saoirse Ronan and Gemma Arterton. Kind of like Interview with a Vampire, but with chicks, and not necessarily a period piece. And from what I can tell, absolutely zero Christian Slater.
This is another one. I love Saoirse Ronan. I love Gemma Arterton. The trailer doesn't do anything for me.
No, it really doesn't. I guess it's a movie that sounded cool when I read about it, but then the more
doesn't
you see
cool,
from it,
yeah,
it doesn't quite hold up. I can't say I'm really overly excited to go see that one. However, I am so excited about I'm So Excited by Pedro Almodovar. starring Antonio Banderas, Penelope Cruz, Javier Camara, Cecilia Roth, Antonio De La Torre. It's his follow-up to what is, I'm going to call, a pod favorite, The Skin I Live In. This one is a screwball comedy about a group of folks that get stuck on a plane that can't land because of a mechanical failure. They think that they're all about to die, so they engage in what can only be described as some very questionable behavior.
His stuff's got enough there for me to want to see it, and I like the concept of this.
I'm interested to see his take on a screwball comedy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think that's a different spin for him. Not exactly a different spin, not really stepping outside of his comfort zone, is Ronald Maxwell for Copperhead, starring Billy Campbell and Peter Fonda. Maxwell's got a type. His last two projects, Gods and Generals and Gettysburg, this one is another Civil War flick. That will take us to July 3rd, which is a Wednesday. Despicable Me 2, directed by Pierre Coffin and Chris Renaud, starring, amongst others, Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig.
I'm excited. I love the first one.
Yep.
I really did.
It was just on TV this weekend, and I was like, I want to watch this.
It's good. They just showed some, I think, 20 minutes at what used to be Show West. It's now called CinemaCon. People seem to be really into it, so I think it'll just be a lot of fun.
Not so much into The Lone Ranger. That rides into theaters on July 3rd, directed by Gore Verbinski, starring Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer.
I think this is your stinker of the summer.
I hope so.
I think it's Gore Verbinski can't do a movie for less than $200 million now. I don't think it's going to come anything close to that. I don't buy Armie Hammer as a lead.
Apparently he's not. Johnny Depp is listed above him. In a movie that's called The Lone Ranger, The Lone Ranger gets second billing.
Yeah, I feel like this is just going to be an epic failure, and I kind of hope it is.
Oh, I definitely hope it is. I've had it up to about here. You can't see, but I'm pointing right about to my ears. Armie Hammer, I don't care, but with the duo of Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp. I'm really pumped about the limited release this week. I'd like to see Despicable Me 2, but if I could just switch and put Lone Ranger in limited and get The Way, Way Back, Nat Faxon and Jim Rash's Way, Way Back in wide release, that would be great. Starring Sam Rockwell, Steve Carell, Toni Collette, Liam James. All I needed to hear about this movie. I didn't need to see a trailer. Rockwell said he borrowed for his character, Walter Matthau from Bad News Bears, Richard Pryor from Bustin' Loose, and Bill Murray from Meatballs. That's fine for me.
It looks like a perfect role for Rockwell. It looks like a perfect role for Faxon. I mean, Faxon wrote it, I'm excited to see what they do as directors, and it looks really, really good.
That, to me, that seems like a really fun summer movie. I mean, it's set in the summer. It's a
coming of age story, which if they're done well, are some of the best movies. You're seeing a different Steve Carell, a really different Steve Carell. It looks like you're seeing a typical Toni Collette, but you're seeing chicks in bathing suits. It looks really good.
It'd be a good summer to be, a 15, 16 year old, because you've got a couple good coming of age stories. Good summer for coming of age, bad summer for going on vacations. That's what the takeaway is to this point. July 12th, bad day to go to the movies. Well, that's not necessarily true. If you want to see something funny, it's a terrible day to go to the movies, because the only thing that would even be remotely close to that would be Grown Ups 2, directed by Dennis Duggan, starring Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, Salma Hayek, and Kevin James.
Let's just keep going.
Fair enough. Not so funny, but looks really, really good is Pacific Rim, Guillermo del Toro's giant robot monster fighting movie starring Charlie Hunnam, Idris Alba, Rinko Kikuchi, and Charlie Day.
I can't wait for this one. Once you get past Iron Man 3 and Star Trek, this is probably the one that I'm most super giddy, little kid excited
about.
Big,
maybe popcorn stuff.
Yeah. I want to see this at the end. I want to see Way, Way Back. But as far as I want to be there opening day, I have to be there. I want to be, this is it.
And I like that they're spread out enough to where it doesn't seem like it's every week I've got to see something. So thank you for not having a bunch of good stuff in the summer to this point. Limited release, Crystal Fairy, directed by Sebastian Silva, starring Michael Cera, Gabby Hoffman. Essentially, Sarah wanders the desert with a shaman looking for a hallucinogenic cactus.
I like Sarah.
I like him too.
He's kind of fallen off of the headlining big time movies.
He's coming back.
He's coming back. I like Abbie Hoffman. I just like what Sarah does.
And I think this is kind of an interesting role for him. I don't know if he's a druggie, but I would like to see some more of a Michael Cera as a drug addict. Check out a trailer for This Is the End, and you'll see some the Red Band trailer. You'll see some really irresponsible behavior from Michael Cera involving drugs. Also, if you are lucky enough to be in a limited release city on July 12th, you can see The Hunt, which is directed by Thomas Vinterberg, starring Mads Mikkelsen, Thomas Bo Larsen. Mads, essentially trying to put his life back together, gets himself a new girlfriend, starts to get along pretty well with his son, and then a typical Mads Mikkelsen movie breaks out.
And I like a typical Mads Mikkelsen movie.
Sure.
So.
And I didn't want to read too much. I don't want to know exactly what happens to Mads that kind of, you know, ruins his day, but yeah. Something does, and he turns into Mads, and that's, sign me up for that. July 19th. In wide release, The Conjuring by James Wan, the guy that brought you Insidious. This looks like kind of an Insidious-type flick.
It looks like a James Wan movie.
It sure does.
The first trailer is interesting. The second one makes me lose all interest.
The first one, I think, is a really good trailer. We thought it looked like an 80s throwback horror movie. That trailer pretty much features Lily Taylor and about her only. The second trailer...
Gets more into the plot.
Yeah, a lot more into the plot with Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, and Ron Livingston.
Which I lose all interest.
Yeah, the first trailer I was on board, not so much. Now, like Mads Mikkelsen, like him a lot, I started liking him from the Nicky Winding Rain flick. He's got a new one coming out on July 19th, Only God Forgives, starring Ryan Gosling and Kristen Scott Thomas. I like both of those a lot.
Nicholas Winding Rain, I'm going to see anything he does.
Yep.
You put Ryan Gosling in it. This looks so good. It looks very Nicholas Winding Rain-y.
Saw a new poster from this movie with a really beat up looking Gosling.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this movie.
And again, you know, we don't know a lot about the plot. We know at some point Gosling decides to fight a guy with a sword. I'm assuming it probably doesn't go real, real well for him, judging by what he looks like on the poster I saw. But that's all I need. I just give me Nicky Winding Rain. I'll watch it. Him reteaming with Ryan Gosling is a good thing for me. Ryan Reynolds teaming up with the dude, Jeff Bridges, and Mary Louise Parker in Robert Shitewinkie's R.I.P.D. Opens opposite the sequel to... Robert's last movie. We'll talk about
which also stars Mary Louise Parker.
Sure does.
This one, it's based on a graphic novel where Reynolds dies and then he goes to the after death detective agency, which is RIPD, and then tries to solve his own murder. There's comedy in it. Jeff Bridges stepped in after Zach Galifianakis dropped out, so I mean that kind of shows what that role is supposed to be, that Zach was doing it. So it's Jeff Bridges is apparently overly comedic in it. I'm holding out judgment on this right now. There should be a trailer later this week, but I don't really know right now because it could be good enough. I like Reynolds. I like Daniels. It's an okay enough story. I need to see more.
I mean, I feel like Jeff Bridges playing like an old lawman, essentially. Like, okay, I've seen him do that before. I'm down with it. I wasn't excited about this at all. The more I read about it, I think, maybe I'll give it a try. I would definitely see that before I see Red 2, the flick we mentioned where Robert Shitewinkie directed the first one. Dean Parasot is directing the second one, starring Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren, Anthony Hopkins, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Mary Louise Parker's in it for a little bit.
John Malkovich.
Sure, yeah, he's in it for a little bit. He was kind of low build. I was a little bit surprised.
Yeah, the first one, I didn't think it was good.
It was all right. It was better than what I expected, but I mean, and it did okay, so obviously there's a Red 2. Whatevs. Also coming out that week on Wednesday, so a little, I don't know what the date is. It doesn't matter. It's Turbo. It's the Ryan Reynolds, Paul Giamatti, Michael Pena, Samuel L. Jackson, Maya Rudolph flick with the cartoon with the snail that gets turbocharged.
So this week you have RIPD and Red 2 starring Mary Louise Parker, and RIPD and Turbo starring Ryan Reynolds.
Busy week.
Yeah.
For Ryan Reynolds. Limited release that week, Girl Most Likely, directed by Sherry Springer Berman and Robert Pulcini, starring Kristen Wiig, Matt Dillon, and Annette Bening. I think the plot's kind of interesting. Kristen Wiig tries to win back an ex-boyfriend by staging her own suicide and then has to move in with her mother.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
Yeah,
I like Kristen Wiig, and to see her go, because no matter what she does, you know it's going to be funny. So even if this gets really dark, you know it's still going to be entertaining because I think she's really good.
Yeah.
She hasn't seemed to be capitalizing on that bridesmaid success as quickly as I thought she would, but I think she might want more because I think she is really talented. I think she's more than just a funny lady. This seems like it's going to be a mix, which I just really like her. I want her in big time movies.
Yeah, no, I'm down for it. I was, it's another one. The more I read about it, the more I think, I'll give that a try. Another one that the more I read about, the more I see from, I get kind of excited about. July 26th, it is The Wolverine, directed by James Mangold, starring Hugh Jackman, Rita Fukushima, Svetlana Kudryashova, and Will Yun Lee.
It looks so good.
It does.
It looks like the Wolverine movie
that we should have got with Origins.
Yeah, so it's...
It'll make me forgive Origins.
And I think that's the goal, is to just make it... It just looks good. It looks like the Wolverine movie we should have gotten.
Yeah, again, more maybe about the character of Logan than it is about the character of the Wolverine, which is fine with me. Limited release that week is Blue Jasmine. That's Woody Allen's latest, starring Alec Baldwin, Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, Woody Allen, he puts them out every year now. I don't rush out to see him. I'll see him eventually, but...
I usually don't see them, and I will probably stick with that for Blue Jasmine. Also, limited release that week, Stranded, directed by Roger Christian, starring Christian Slater, Brendan Fair. Four astronauts get marooned on the moon. Some spooky stuff starts to happen. Some alien hijinks.
Plot sounds bad. Cast sounds even worse.
Yeah, I want to say I saw a trailer for this a long time ago. And yeah, I can't say that it really did a lot for me then. I thought, boy, this looks dumb. And then when I read about this, I thought, boy, that sounds dumb. And then the two halves of my brain connected and it probably will be dumb. Finishing out that week is Fruitvale, directed by Ryan Coogler, starring Michael B. Jordan and Octavia Spencer. It's about the 2009 shooting of Oscar Grant at an Oakland train station by a transit cop, a story that got a lot of play back in 2009.
This is the one produced by Forrest Whitaker. I like Michael B. Jordan. I think he's a promising young star that
I think this is a good role for him.
Yeah, I think this is a really good role for him that'll kind of get him out there. I hope so. I think we'll be better off if Michael B. Jordan is starring in bigger movies because I think he's got the ability to do it. It's just, are there roles for him, which is sad. But
and I think this is a great role for him. It's a role, it's a story that people are familiar with. It's still relatively recent enough that I think there'll be still some feelings attached to it. And I think he'll do an excellent job.
Plus, Octavia Spencer's been on fire. She's been doing really good stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, I mean, those two names alone combined with the story, I think, are enough that I got to believe that'll be a good movie. It may not be...
the feel-good movie of the summer. No, that's...
Maybe not.
I think it'll be really good,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, that'll wrap up July. On the second day of August, we get Two Guns, directed by Baltazar Cormacur, starring Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg. Kind of a buddy cop movie, but with a different spin. Yeah, the trailer looks really good.
It looks really fun. The cast, it just looks like a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, a lot of action, a lot of interplay. It looks like Denzel and Marky Mark have kind of a good chemistry together. Kind of a sequel we've been waiting. I don't mean, no, maybe not we've been waiting.
You haven't
been waiting because you don't like Zack Snyder or anything.
I didn't mind the first one. I don't need a sequel.
Well, that's good because it's not really a sequel.
Or a prequel.
It's not really a prequel. The movie that we're talking about is 300 Rise of an Empire, directed by Noah Moreau, starring Ava Green, Sullivan Stapleton, Rodrigo Santoro. It kind of takes place during the same time 300 takes place, during the same war. This is just, instead of being a land battle, this is a naval battle.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Whatevs. More interested in The Smurfs 2, directed by Raja Gosnell, starring Neil Patrick Harris, Jemma Mays, Sofia Vergara, Katy Perry, Hank Azaria.
I want more for Neil Patrick Harris. He should be
in more Harold and Kumar movies.
He should be doing movies. I like Jemma Mays. I think she's making terrible choices as far as what she's doing. But, I just don't care.
No, I don't care at all. Limited release that week, The Spectacular Now, directed by James Ponsoldt, starring Shailene Woodley, Miles Teller. The big hit at Sundance, the teen romance, where Teller's the popular kid and Woodley's not. But
she's enough for me to want to see it.
They're good together. It's got, you know, a lot of good buzz, and I'm not doing it justice with my description, but you know, it's one of those festival darlings that'll be out this summer, so check that out. August 9th. A movie that Dave and I are both pretty excited about. It's Neil Blomkamp's follow-up to District 9. Comes out August 9th. Maybe there's a tie in there. There's probably not. But the movie is Elysium, starring Matt Damon, Jodie Foster. You said
the trailer
it looked underwhelming.
Was underwhelming, but it doesn't kill my excitement for this movie at all.
No, I'm pretty pumped. And it does seem very... Not that, you know, Blomkamp's got a big style already, but it does seem like... It's a science fiction flick that tackles social issues, which is his thing, and that's fine. I guess that's a way to do it without being preachy, which he really wasn't for District 9, so I hope he's not for this either. I know you're pumped about Planes. Clay Hall, starring Dane Cook, Julie Louis-Dreyfus. It's essentially Cars in the Sky.
It's Cars in the Sky, which I don't care about.
Nope, me either. Also in wide release that week is We're the Millers, directed by Ross and Marcia Thuber, starring Jennifer Aniston, Jason Sudeikis. Up to this point, I thought I could take it or leave it. And then I read a bit about it. To transport a bunch of weed into Mexico, Sudeikis recruits essentially a bunch of strangers to pose as his family. They all pile into this motorhome and try and drive the weed across to Mexico. Jennifer Aniston plays a stripper. He hires a homeless girl to play his daughter and some latchkey kid to play his son. It seems like an interesting concept.
It's nice timing because Sudeikis almost overdid it for a little bit. There was a phase where Sudeikis seemed like he was in a movie a month, and he's kind of quieted down. He hasn't really been in much. So for him to come out in the summer with a starring role alongside Jennifer Aniston, I think it'll be good for him, but I don't really like Jennifer Aniston. In my head, I hate Jennifer Aniston, but she gets on board with like this and Wanderlust, so I don't... It's hard to hate her when she's going along with stuff like this, and this I think will be funny.
This may be what gives Jennifer Aniston the McAvoy turn in your mind, yes?
I don't... It might be too late for that, because Wanderlust should have done it. It might be, though.
You hear that, Jennifer Aniston? Just you're on the McAvoy trail. Just don't fail us with We Are the Millers. A movie that looks like it's going to be a big fat fail is Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. Gets a Wednesday release, directed by a guy that sounds like he should be a character in the movie, Thor Frendenthal, starring Logan Lerman. Boy, you deserve better. So does Alexandra Daddano and Brandon T. Jackson.
It's a waste of this talent. There's so much talent in this cast, and they're just wasted.
Wasted indeed. August 2nd, maybe what I was trying to say with 300 could apply to this movie, a sequel that we've waited quite a while for. Kick-Ass 2, directed by Jeff Wadlow, starring Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Jim Carrey.
I accept that this won't be anywhere near as good as the first.
Sure.
I know I won't enjoy it nearly as much as the first.
Sure.
But man, do I want to see it.
But I think it'll still be good.
I can't wait for it. I still think I'm going to enjoy it. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, Kick-Ass maybe was a 8.5, a 9. You know, this might be a 7, but there's nothing wrong with
7.
Sevens.
But
yeah.
I'll enjoy it the whole time.
Sure. I know you're going to enjoy the to-do list because you've told me before. You've told the listeners before how much you're excited about this Maggie Carey movie starring Aubrey Plaza, Bill Hader, Rachel Bilson, and Alia Shawkat.
And a bunch of people. Donald Glover shows up in it. Dominic Dirks. It's just, it looks awesome. It was supposed to come out on Valentine's Day. Got pushed back. It
would have been a great Valentine's Day movie.
Yeah. Yes, Aubrey Plaza in a leading role. She was awesome in Safety Not Guaranteed. I want her top-lining movies. I really do. And this is like her prime chance.
Play more high school chicks. That's what I want.
Any chicks.
I guess we got to stretch. Limited release that week. Austin Land, directed by Joshua Hess, starring Kerry Russell, J.G. Feld, and Burt McKenzie. Essentially, lonely book readers head off to a Jane Austen fantasy camp to be wooed by dudes that I could probably mash.
I've never liked anything Hess has done. Napoleon Dynamite was okay, but since then I don't care.
I didn't like it.
I didn't love it. It was okay for a watch. After that, I was over it.
I think the story for this sounds so ridiculous that I feel like I have to see it. You know what I mean? Just, I'm intrigued. I know it's not a documentary, but if I can imagine that there are really people that go to Jane Austen fantasy camp, then I think I would have a much more fun time with this movie. Lots of fun times to be had with Ain't Them Body Saints, directed by David Lowery, starring Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck. Affleck breaks out of jail to reunite with his lady friend, who also happens to be his partner in crime.
It's like a Western?
Like a Western, like a Bonnie and Clyde type deal.
I'm excited for it. Just because of the buzz Lowry's been getting and everything he's been involved in, I want to see it. And I like Casey Affleck. Like, I think he takes the roles he takes on the little indies he does are usually at least compelling in some way. Like, I didn't really like Killer Inside Me, but I'm glad I watched it. Like, and he was really good in it. This is the kind of movie that Affleck excels in.
Yeah, I think he'll be good. I mean, Rooney Mara is good. I'm not the biggest fan of hers. Sometimes I think she's a bit forced down my throat. But this movie sounds like it could be, you know, kind of interesting. Good fun summertime. Nothing like a crime spree to get you going in the dog days of summer. August 23rd is the premiere of The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones, directed by Harold Zwart, starring Lily Collins, Jamie Campbell-Bauer, and Robert Sheehan.
Again, I think it'll be more Hunger Games than Twilight. It looks okay.
I think it'll be relatively successful. I mean, when you look at what's going to be out that week, I mean, I think it's definitely the tween movie that week. But you know, if you're old enough to get into an R-rated movie, I would expect you to be at the world's end. It's Edgar Wright's, I guess, trilogy to his, or his finality of the Blood and Popcorn trilogy, starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, of course, and Martin Freeman.
This just got added into the summer. It was supposed to be an October release. It just got thrown into August to like tail end summer. And I there's not words for it. Like, there's not words for how excited I am for it.
Dave's really excited. I mean, it looks good. I like.
I mean, we're supposed to have a trailer within 2 weeks.
And we'll probably talk about it more.
Yeah.
When the trailer rolls out. But I mean, like, right now, what else do you need to know? You know, it's Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost,
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. This is the third one.
Yeah, you'll be there. You know it. You're Next, directed by Adam Weingart, is our next flick, starring Shamie Vinson, AJ Bowden, Joe Swanberg. You know what? After seeing the trailer, I was all right with it.
This is the one that I said a few weeks ago. This is the best horror trailer I've seen in years.
But I read it's a horror comedy.
I'm fine with that because these are funny people involved with it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Look at the best. Leslie Vernon's a horror comedy. Fantastic. Shaun of the Dead's a horror comedy. I think my favorite horrors have an element of comedy to it.
I'm just afraid that for as many good horror comedies there are, it's much easier to screw it up.
I think these guys have the talent to not do it, though. Because, I mean, just all the, so many good horror comedies have come out in the past 15 years that I can't look negatively at something just because it says it's a horror comedy. The trailer doesn't sell comedy
it doesn't,
at all.
No.
The trailer sells the horror. But I'm okay with that, because go back to Hatchet. The first Hatchet was sold as just a hardcore thrasher. In reality, it was a horror comedy, and it was good. It was done well.
I guess, but I think it still stands up as a straight slasher.
I expect the same kind of thing from this. Like, I expect the comedy in this to be no more distracting than it was in Hatchet, where it's still a horror movie. There's that extra to keep you going. Because, and I think that's why horror comedies are so good, is because those two blend together so well.
I think
because
they can.
Love to laugh,
it's a national.
Love to scare.
It's a natural tension release in horror movies. But I think sometimes, and there are points at Hatchet that I think it was overdone, where the jokes were forced. I know Weinger can do a good horror movie. We'll see if he can do horror comedy. Also that week is The Grand Master, directed by Carl Y. Wong, starring Ji Yi Zhang, Tony Leung, Chi Wang, Kung Lee. I can pronounce his name. I've often thought to myself, who in the world could beat up Bruce Lee? I don't know, maybe the guy that trained him. That's what this movie is about. It's about a guy that trained a pretty badass dude, Bruce Lee. Finishing up down the home stretch, August 30th, Closed Circuit, directed by John Crowley, starring Eric Bana, Rebecca Hall. It's a courtroom thriller. Bana and Hall bring their own brand of sexy justice to an international terrorist trial.
Nothing about that interests me.
No, not really. An action movie set in a court, I can probably do without that. I can also probably do without The Getaway, directed by Courtney Salmon and Yaron Levy, starring Ethan Hawke, Selena Gomez, John Voight. Ethan Hawke teams with a young, quote-unquote, hacker to rescue his wife.
Nothing about this movie interests me.
Not even Selena Gomez?
Not as a hacker.
Okay, fair enough. Final, no, I guess it's not our final movie. It's the final movie I decided to do anything about. It is Satanic, directed by Oliver Blackburn, starring Ashley Green, Haley Bennett. All alone on campus during Thanksgiving break, adorable Ashley Green gets harassed by a bunch of crazy and presumably satanic creeps.
And I think that makes the Strangers-esque type movies to five this
at
summer.
At least. I didn't see any like animal masks, but I haven't seen the trailer for this. I'm just reading.
And so I'm wondering how much Ashley Green has left. I like her. I think she's adorable, but she hasn't really been... She's been given chances to blow up outside of Twilight, and she hasn't really been delivering. So
I don't think this is going to do it.
I think this might be the last nail in her coffin for it, but we'll see.
And officially wrapping up our summer preview, and we are going out on a very strong note. And it is, of course, notes played, sang by the fellas from One Direction. What is it? This Is Us.
Directed by Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah.
Who I love. I love One Direction.
Sure.
I'll see this. I'm a sucker for a good music documentary.
Except for the one about the backup singers, which you didn't seem to really care too much about. Do you want to see the one about...
I like One Direction.
The kid band, sure. Do you want to go over your rules for the box office bash? Because you're clearly high on One Direction, so you're taking this movie, aren't you?
Oh yeah, you know it. Box office bash. We want you to play along with us. In 2 weeks, Ryan and I'll have our draft, similar to how we did with Film Ball. But you guys don't have to draft anything, so I'm not even going to get into our rules until we do our draft. For you, please, any movie releasing from May 1st to August 31st. Pick five of them. Five movies releasing between May and August. Here's how it works. Every movie, you get 1 point for every $10 million earned at the U.S. box office before August 31st. You get 3 points for every weekend that that movie is number one. Deadline to get the picks in, April 30th. If you want to have them read on our Box Office Bash draft episode, which will be the week of 4/29, have them to us by 4/28 so we can get them ready. Like I said, Ryan and I will be doing a draft, so we'll kind of give more analysis into what we think are the big hitters then.
And we won't make fun of your picks, because we did that last time, and boy, did we look stupid.
So just pick. It's that simple. It's not as convoluted as Film Ball. Film Ball was a ton of fun. This is a lot more simple. It's basically all box office. Just pick five movies. Pretty much whatever makes the most gets the most points.
You win.
That's pretty much it. We'll put up a blog post. Please mail us your entries at moviesonup@gmail.com. Get friends to play along. It's not hard.
Even if they don't listen to the podcast, it doesn't matter. You can lie to them, say they didn't win, and keep the prize for yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of went weekend by weekend now. You can go to Box Office Mojo and find the release schedule. You have an idea. You'll hear about stuff. Just... get us picks by no later than 4:30, April 30th, that is, not 4:30 today.
4:30 p.m., it's already past 4:30.
Get them to us by April 30th to be involved, to get your picks read and analyzed and critiqued on the draft episode. Get them to us by April 28th. But that's pretty much it, just simple. Pick us five movies and how much money they make, that's how many points you get.
Kiss, man. Keep it simple. Stupid. Simple enough. At least sounds simple. We'll see how simple it is, you know, when we get a couple bombs in there that surprise us, because I'm sure that will happen. So for our bonus watch this week, Dave would like to do an overlooked or forgotten summer blockbuster that obviously wasn't a bomb, or it wouldn't be on our list. Do you want to go first?
I pick Get Smart. Just because it was, you know, it came out. Steve Carell was at a high. Anne Hathaway, The Rock. It did okay. It did well, but I don't think it's really looked... I think people forget about that movie. Like, I don't think it's really...
And they probably should.
I liked it. I thought it was funny. I thought the cast was... I thought Carell and Anne Hathaway... But I grew up loving the show.
I liked the show a lot,
I loved the show as a child. It had... Steve Carell was perfect casting as Maxwell Smart. I thought she was great as Agent 99. I thought the plot... I liked it a lot. I really did.
Hey, that's all right, man. Didn't like it as much. I don't know. It's hard. This movie is definitely not forgotten. And I don't know that it's overlooked, and that maybe it's overlooked because it's not considered a summer blockbuster, because it wasn't really a term in 1975 when Jaws came out. That was the first.
That's the first
summer blockbuster. It is kind of the godfather of summer blockbusters, which made it okay, you know, to be released in the summer. It wasn't, you know, where movies went to die. So, you know, thank you to Jaws and to Steven Spielberg for giving us a good movie, which allows us to have a bunch of sweet movies in the summer, so we don't have to just go outside and play, because God, that sucks.
That was our summer preview. That was fun. It was long. But it was pretty in-depth.
It's not that long.
We hit every weekend from May through August.
And maybe...
Don't say we didn't do anything. We don't do anything for
it. We may have left out a couple movies. They didn't have solid dates.
We didn't preface it ahead of time. A lot of these dates are subject to change. We tried to make it as current as possible, but some of these will change. Some of them will drop. More will get added, especially with the limiteds. But I think it'll be a good summer.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'm more excited about... I think there are more movies I'm excited about this summer than last year. Because last year there weren't a ton. The ones I was excited for, I was really, really excited for.
Yeah.
This year there's a lot that's like, oh yeah, I'm excited for that. I don't know that... I'm not as excited for any of them as maybe the Avengers or Batman. Well, but Iron Man 3
Star Trek,
maybe.
Yeah,
so.
I think you are. It's a sneaky summer.
Yeah,
I think
there's... But then Pacific Rim, This Is the End, World's End. Like, all these movies I really want to see, and I know I'm forgetting some.
Rapture Palooza. Yeah. All the end of the world ones.
One Direction, This Is the End. I don't know.
This is pretty close to the end of our podcast.
Check out our news episode from earlier this week.
Yeah, check out that. Check out any of our back episodes on the newly redesigned moviesonup.com. Thanks to Jimmy Cole for our new artwork on that site. It looks pretty stupid fly, and there actually is a picture of Jaws on there.
Yeah, so yeah, there is.
For backing up my point.
Check us out next week. Next week we'll have the news episode, and then Ryan was inspired during the summer preview. We're going to do our favorite movies where vacation's gone wrong.
Yeah.
Whether that sounds very horror heavy, and I'm sure our list will be, but it could be anything. There are comedies where vacations go terribly wrong.
There are, and maybe that's what makes them funny.
Yeah, so that's next week. And then the week after that, we'll continue. We'll do the box office bash draft, and then we'll go over your list or picks.
Sounds good. So until next week, think about the box office bash, and until then,
keep it up.